This is an Enterprise Times podcast. My name is Ian Murphy. I'm here today with Zeno Rocha from Liferay.
Hello, everybody. I'm Zeno Rocha. I'm a principal developer advocate at Liferay.
What does developer advocate mean?
This is a new job title, I would say. It started from maybe 5 years from now. And it's basically a role where we try to inspire other developers to use certain technologies or certain platforms. That's pretty much the idea. So there's a lot of engineering work related that includes building demos to show certain products or helping other people to succeed in that platform. There are also a little bit of marketing involved where there's a lot of talks, events that you need to go, things like that. Of course, in every software industry right now, every software company, it's trying to hire new talent. So there's also a little bit of HR involved, if you could say, like hiring. It's a new role where it's like a horizontal role in the company where there's a lot of touch points.
How does it differ from developer evangelist?
There was actually a lot of discussion in why developer advocate is better than developer evangelist because of the word evangelism, what that brings to the table, and which could mean certain things in certain regions and cultures related to church and religion, things like that. That's why people usually go on this other side of a developer advocate. It's someone that advocates for the developer interests inside the company. That's what we do. We promote hackathons inside the company, things like that. We build tools for developers inside the company to be more productive, but also on the outside. Imagine three pillars right now, and you have the engineering department building things, and then they want to share those things in the world. They want to expose that to the community. There's usually a lot of things involved when you want to share something with the community. Building an open source project is not only about the source code itself. It's how you're going to document, how you're going to present, what is the first experience when you download, all those things. So we usually facilitate that and we present that to the developers. Those developers from outside, they give feedback and we filter that feedback. If it makes sense, we bring it back to the engineering team. It's this endless cycle of feedback coming in and out.
And that's particularly important because, of course, you're based on open source. So you have to be that bridge between the community, who can sometimes feel a little disassociated from the internal engineering, and the engineering team who need to not just convince them they're acting in their best interest, but try and get why they're doing what they're across.
Exactly. And especially in enterprise companies, the engineering department is always very isolated and very protected. Usually, enterprise companies don't want external people to have direct contact to the engineers. Engineers usually end up building things that they don't know who uses, how they use it, what is the experience. Maybe it's super good, maybe it's not that great. So we try to bridge that gap.
You're very passionate about open source and why people need to get involved. But one of the challenges is if I look at building an app today, I can build an app, I can monetize it quickly, I can see revenue come in the door. If I'm working in open source and I'm putting code up in GitHub and other places, I never really know if it monetizes. I often don't know how long that might take, if ever, to bring something back. How do you engage those developers into working in open source and give them some belief that this will generate a revenue?
I love this question because it really is related to my whole career. When I first started to develop software, I quickly realized that, oh, I can make a lot of money by myself. I started in a design agency and there were a lot of projects and you have your very small salary when you're beginning. And then you realize, oh, I can build sites my own and I can get a freelance project and make 3 times more than I do in 1 month. So that gets very interesting. And that's what I did. I realized that power. You do the first website for your uncle and then you get a referral and then things start to grow from there. And then I was getting freelance after freelance. Money was the only thing I would care that moment. And then one day I was at work. I thought, oh, I was working on something. And then I was, oh, maybe I can share this because this could be used by other people. So I did my first open source project, put it out there. The first day, nobody cared. As always, just like any open source project. On the second day, a big player shared the project, got a lot of attention. And then the community came to this project. And then I got all sorts of feedback, including one of my first pull requests that I received was someone deleting all the files from my project and saying, this is useless. The only way you can make it better is to write from scratch. And that was a very famous person on the community at that time. So I was super scared. Eventually, we turned around and that project ended up being a successful one. But that was my beginning. At that time, I felt, oh, that's a very aggressive world from one perspective. But I also realized that I could make an impact in the life of others. And when I was just doing one freelance after the other, whenever I would open my editor to start working on a project, it was also, okay, let's do this. It's a little bit frustrating because you're doing something for others that it doesn't really benefit as much as you could. I realized that, and I stopped doing freelance, and I started to do open source. That's really counterintuitive, if you think about it, because you have 24 hours in your day. I was at the university working, and then I would get home 10 p.m., work on the freelance until 2 a.m., and then wake up and make money that way. I was selling my hours. And now, from one point, I was giving my hours free and not getting anything back. So that's super counterintuitive. Why would someone do that? But I realized the other benefits that open source was bringing. The visibility that my work started to get was getting much better. Just like the personal fulfillment of what the impact you could do in the world. I guess when you think about open source, people usually associate, okay, how can I have some financial contributions on those? So they think about how can I put a donation button on my project and make a little bit of money on that. But if you don't limit yourself to those thoughts of personal gains, open source is a long game. The way you make money is usually maybe not directly by the project. Maybe you're going to meet someone that works in another company and then they will refer you because at that company they use their product and maybe you get a job that you will never get in your life.
Sort of a practical job interview, but it's ongoing.
Yeah, that's one way of seeing that. For myself, I was in Brazil working on my dream job, super happy about that. But I realized then like job interviews started to come from other places. And then I realized, oh, maybe my work can impact not only my country, but also other countries and other people out there. That's what got me into that, and that's why I love it so much.
You mentioned using GitHub as a CV. Is that working for a lot of people, or is that something that takes a while to build up?
This, Fury, it's not something that I'm a big fan of. You see a lot of people in the industry that take that very seriously, where they would judge other people by their GitHub. We and my team, sometimes we hire two people on our team or just because they contributed to our code. And then we realize that, oh, there's something over here. Because if someone is putting their free time, the time that they could be spending with their families, they could be doing something to get more money or whatever their reasons are. And they decided to put that time into what you're doing, there's something over there. They are passionate about it. So that's a very good way of recruiting. And people take that very seriously. I met so many developers in my life. If you open their GitHub, there's nothing over there. And then they're amazing. They can be much more productive than this rock star developer that has 30,000 followers on GitHub. I don't take that very seriously. I think it's a tool. Like anything, when you're judging someone of, okay, should I hire that person or not? For developers, it's tough because they can show and send you a URL. Oh, I built this. Okay, but how you build it and all the pieces, you did the whole backend infrastructure or you just did the HTML and CSS, like what you did. So that's why GitHub is useful, but I guess it's just another tool.
Kind of like social media for developers.
Yeah.
When you're engaging with young developers in particular, because they're the ones who are coming very quickly into open source, what questions are they asking early on?
First, I would say they get a benefit from it. They have to do their work and they need to do things faster. So they find those libraries out there that are open. So they use it. And then there's a sense of guilt where you're using something from someone. You have so much benefit. You're being much more productive, delivering much faster. You didn't have to spend all this time on this code. There's a sense of guilt and a sense of, I should give back. That will be the first question of young developers when they come up. It's, how can I help? It's a really difficult question to ask because there are many ways you can help an open source project. Usually, young people, they think, oh my gosh, I want to help React from Facebook. But there are senior engineers working on React and it's like a 5-year project. I'm going to get lost in the source code. I would never make a contribution to that. But that's not the way you could start. There are many ways. Maybe there's a typo on the documentation that you can fix. because you're young, because you're starting, you don't have all this background information, and you can help the get started guides. So there are many ways you can help, or just go through the issues and see what are the ones that are outdated or duplicated. So I think, how can I start helping? That will be the main and most popular questions from young developers.
How do you help them with mentoring? You said earlier, one of your first experiences was that a well-known person in the community came along, deleted all your code and said, this is rubbish. That can be quite devastating to people if there's nobody there to help them. And one of the dangers of the internet is that the anonymity, because people aren't in a room with you, can make comments seem much more vicious. Have you found in your role as an advocate that you are as much mentoring people as you are actually advocating for them?
There are many cases out there where people are trying to contribute to Linux, and then Linus comes and make a comment where it destroys that person. It's really tough to manage those situations because they go much more beyond code. You see that all over the place. GitHub, when you do your first contribution, now they have a label. Oh, that's the first contributor. From the project owner perspective, that's awesome because now I can, instead of just say, oh, it looks good to me and merge it, maybe you can leave an animated GIF and just encourage them more. Thank you, that's awesome. Or you know they're not used to that, so if something is wrong and they pull requests, because that's the life of an open source maintainer. You get a lot of questions that doesn't make any sense. It's sometimes you want to say the bad thing. You want to say, this is garbage, close the issue, and you don't even give a feedback. You feel this all the time. But you need to remember, there's someone out there in the other side that is also spending their free time on this. They have their intentions, they have their deadlines sometimes. You need to be able to relate to them.
Over the many years I've been around the business, one of the challenges for developers is we've moved away from educating them to expecting them to pick up a book that's 21 days to learn everything there is about a subject. Similarly, we've also got some professional applications like lynda.com where people can go and learn stuff. But open source provides a third opportunity, doesn't it? And one that's not going to cost an employer, it's not going to cost the employee, but has a benefit of giving them constant learning and tuning. How do you carry that message to employers? What would you say to an employer to allow their staff to go and use GitHub?
Usually when you try to explain what is the ROI of open source or developer relations in general, it's really difficult to explain to someone. There's a really nice quote from one of the co-founders of GitHub where he says that when you do open source, you create a multiplier workforce. From a business owner perspective, you almost get free employees. You get free help. And that's why many projects out there, they open source for this reason. Apple, a few days ago. You have so many cases where big companies, they realize, okay, I have this piece of software that works great. We have hundreds of developers over here improving that. But hundreds of developers looking at your code is nice. But what if you have thousands? What if you open source and then they found a bug that you will never track? What if they come with some insights that will make your application much faster? There are so many benefits to open source. Of course, you need to put time into it. It's not everything by free and you're going to open source and they will come. That's build it and they will come. It's a lie. We need to be more proactive if we want good feedback and good contributions back.
Zeno, thank you for your time today.
Thank you so much.